time for a Gridiron Geek Out with the scientist of NFL films, Greg Cosell,
with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by Dolan's Home Improvement Centers. Save money on highest quality.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
This is perfect for Cosell, by the way.
Let's go.
It's Cosell, a New York guy, right? He's back there,
well,
right?
Yeah, man. You talk about seeing Led Zeppelin, I think, at the... it was Madison Square Garden, I think you say so. That's unbelievable.
By the way...
I'm looking over, there's Greg Cosell at a Zeppelin show.
He's right there. By the way, are we going to maybe run into Cosell when we're out in New York and...
Well,
in a month or so?
Well, let's ask him. Let's ask him if he's going to be on hand for that. I don't know if he does stuff like that. And by the way,
I don't know if he'll be at that, but I'm just wondering, you know.
Oh, like on the streets.
Some pleasantries. Yeah,
yeah, like at a steakhouse. You know,
yeah, maybe a steakhouse, maybe a glass of wine with Cosell.
Well, you're going to love New York so much. One of the great things about...
I haven't been since 06.
Oh, bro. You.
I'm going to be just hanging on.
You're going to come back limping. I know that much.
How's Cope? He's limping.
You are going to be, like, spiritually, mentally, physically limping.
I can't wait, dude.
When we flew to New York last time for the Super Bowl, it was when the Broncos played the Seahawks at the Meadowlands.
By the way,
it was snowing.
One of the worst balls ever. Yeah.
Worst balls of all time. But we flew into New York to do Radio Row that week. And when we landed, it's a lot like this trip. We landed in New York about like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Go to the hotel, drop our bags, went out for a steak dinner at 11 p.m.
By the way, that's That's early for this trip, 10, 11 o'clock. We're getting there like midnight this time.
I know.
Yeah, that's early.
Well, more on that later. In the meantime, let's bring them in. It is time to talk to Greg Cosell. We talk NFL football. We go in deep in the X's and O's, and we welcome him back to the program. Now, Greg, a little bit of a different sound today. I've got Adam Copeland in for Brian Murphy. So you're going to be talking to Copes and Paulie Mack today, Greg. How you doing?
Paulie, what's happening?
Well, we're settling in, man. And to tell you the truth, it's Thursday now, and I'm starting to get anxious for this 49er game. It's the return of DeForest Buckner. But you can help Niner fans who haven't seen a lot of Colts football so far, Greg. Let's go through the Colts a little bit and talk about their strengths, their weaknesses. And for, in particular, if I'd like to start and ask you, how are the Colts from what you've seen so far defensively against the run? Because I feel like it's going to be raining out here, Greg, by the way. They're expecting heavy rain.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, heavy. And that's... Heavy rain.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And that's the Sunday night game.
That's right.
Well, that's why I really feel like the Niners would be really suited to run the – or at least be able to establish the run, but I don't know about that matchup. So how are the Colts? Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that you're dealing with a team defensively in the Colts that, quite honestly, has not been as good defensively this year as many thought they'd be. You know, I think their run defense is probably kind of middle of the pack in terms of the yardage that they do give up. They had a major injury yesterday, which is going to hurt them. He's not a run defender necessarily, but I believe their safety, Justin Blackmon, tore his Achilles yesterday, so he's done for the year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He's a starting safety, so he's an important cog in their overall defense. But they have not been as good defensively overall this year. And that's been a little bit of a problem, particularly in their start to the season. I think they started off the season 0-3, because defense had been a strength under their D coordinator Matt Eberflus the last couple of years. They had been a team that did not blitz very much, played predominantly coverage, relied on getting you off the field on third down, and they've not been quite the same this year. So it's. You know, as they were kind of working through, and we'll get to this in a moment, working through Carson Wentz, you know, new quarterback, and I'm pretty sure they were counting on their defense to kind of keep things together, but it really hasn't been quite that way.
When you look at the tape this year, Greg, how's my guy DeForest Buckner doing? Because, you know, obviously he was a beloved 49er, high-impact player, too, and they weren't able to keep him. It was just a financial thing. After their Super Bowl season. So he's been a Colt now, second year over there. And again, it's a team we don't see very often. So how is Buckner playing with the Colts?
You know, and I haven't, to be honest, guys, I mean, I don't want to, you know, speak out of school here. I haven't studied him individually.
Right.
Because I've become far more fascinated when I watch tape now with schemes and tactics. So I don't spend as much time looking at individual players as I did years ago. So I really can't say one way or the other, you know, whether he's playing well, not well, because I don't want to say that and then have a guy, you know, who works for a team say, hey, no, that's the team I study and you're wrong. So I don't want to say that because I don't know.
No, I got you.
All I do know is overall defensively, they are not what they were a year ago. Their third down conversion rate defensively is not very good relative to what it was. They're not getting off the field. I think they're a defense that can be beat. Now, obviously, with what you're saying about the weather, that can change tactics in the game. Obviously, the pass game, if it indeed is heavy rain, that changes tactics in a game because it's difficult to throw the ball in really heavy rain. I mean, if you're talking about true downpours.
Talking to Greg Cosell on the UMA guest line, I know you don't want to get specifically necessarily into individual players, but more schematics here and game planning here. Looking at Carson Wentz, he makes the switch from Philadelphia to Indianapolis, yep. and he's been effective for the most part. I know the record's maybe not what they want it to be, but last week threw the ball 20 times, completed 11 of those passes. He's not throwing as many interceptions this year. What is it about this? Is it that they're committed to the run? Is it that he's got a better receiving corps, completion percentage up near 65%? What have you seen from this Colts offense that allows you to believe they can continue to find success with Wentz at quarterback?
Well, through six games, and that's all we have. You know, and I always remind people that this is based on what we've seen. You know, anybody can have a bad game. Look at what happened with Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Yeah. So it's what we've seen up to this point.
Right.
But up to this point, Wentz has continually improved each and every week. He's gotten incrementally better. He's very comfortable in the pocket. He's not moving around when he doesn't need to. He's getting rid of the football. Now, they're helping him with some really well-designed concepts in the pass game, because what you're trying to do is define the reads and the throws for the quarterback as best as you can, so that when he hits his back foot, the ball can come out, so that he doesn't get stuck in the pocket. And they're doing a really good job with the play-action pass game. And one thing we know is a myth, and it's been proven over and over for years, is you don't need to run the ball effectively to execute play-action.
Mm-hmm.
But their play-action pass game is very, very good. And play-action tends also to define reads and throws, because when a quarterback turns his back to the defense and then snaps his head around, you pretty much want him to be in a position where he's reading one defender, because the defense has moved. So you can't ask him to snap his head around when he starts to feel the clock winding down, because you have to get rid of the football. You can't then ask him to read full field or read three or four guys. So play action by its very nature defines reads and throws for the quarterback. And they're really good in the play-action pass game. And the other area where he's throwing the ball exceptionally well is outside the numbers. He's been very accurate. He's always had a big arm. Arm strength is never an issue. So, and they're going to get, again, I'm speaking, you know, Sunday's a long way away.
Right, right.
We'll see what the weather is, you know.
Yeah.
I know you say they predict rain, but
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, but the point being that the 49ers, in a normal situation, have played a lot more what we call split safety coverages this year, and they've been very effective, the Colts pass game, against split safety coverages.
Last week, T.Y. Hilton returned for them, and they threw a lot of deep balls, it seemed like, last week. They've got some guys who can go up and get him. Michael Pittman's been very good for them this year. T.Y. Hilton sort of looked like he took the top off the defense last week. To your point, outside the numbers, I think 4 catches for 80 yards. He was on the injury report yesterday. We'll see what happens with him. But he's mostly a deep ball threat, I feel like. What did he do to the defense last week? I mean, obviously, it was Houston, 31-3, the final in that one, but he sort of took the top off.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because they had a really good plan going against Houston. Houston, under Lovie Smith, he's their defensive coordinator, they play a ton of split safety, and you know what you're going to get. So they had some really good deep ball concepts, vertical route concepts that attack split safety. And that's what teams do. I think Frank Reich's very good at that. I think Frank Reich's very good at scheming the pass game against the specific opponent. And they did that really, really well last week, and they hit two big shots. They hit one to Paris Campbell, who's out, but they hit Paris Campbell for a touchdown, and they hit T.Y. Hilton for a long gain. And they were both schemed pass game concepts versus split safety. So, again, that's what Frank Reich is really good at, and the 49ers will know that, and we'll see what they decide to do. But they've played more split safety this year than through six games. Than they kind of made the transition last year under Robert Saleh from being totally, almost exclusively a single high safety team. They play a lot more split safety coverages now.
Talking to Greg Cosell on the UMA guest line, getting ready for the Niners, Indianapolis Colts. That's a national game, Sunday night football in the rain. Yeah, Greg, we are. It's like we're in the middle of, we've had a drought out here, Greg, for a couple of years. So the rains finally came a couple of days ago. And once they come in these kind of weather patterns, they just stay over the city for a while. So
So it's likely. I mean, it's you're not talking about little drizzles.
No,
you're talking about rain.
Yeah, it's straight up rain. And I want to talk about, again, considering that and the elements of the game and how that's going to affect the game. The 49er defense, specifically the D-line, Greg, and it's really a talking point this week, once again, because of DeForest Buckner coming back and how things have changed since he's left. I mean, when he was here, I think everybody on that line benefited, whether it was Bosa or D. Ford or Armstead. And now, you know, the double teams for Buckner are no longer necessary. It's been a little more challenging. Now, Bosa's had a nice year with 5 sacks. D. Ford's got 3. And he's a guy I want to ask you about. D. Ford is great when he's on the field, Greg. Now, that's the thing. So far this season, he's only been on the field for 27% of the snaps. When he's out there, he does have an impact on the game. But I just want to, like, get your view when you're looking at tape of D. Ford. Do you see anything different from years past in terms of his productivity, in terms of his speed and his effectiveness? How does he look to you?
I think he's played well, but you hit the nail on the head. He's not out there as much as they'd like him to be out there. I think he's still a very good pass rusher. He's always had kind of that one-arm stab, which he's really been good at, particularly when he lines up on the left side. He uses that right hand with a one-arm stab. He's been very good at that throughout his career. But he's a pass rusher more than anything, and he's not playing a ton of snaps. So, look, they're not terrible against the run. It's not as if they're giving up, you know, chunks and chunks and chunks relative to other teams in the league. They're kind of middle of the road as far as run defense. But, you know, I think the run game, from what you're saying, sounds like it will be very important in this game. And this run game is different, let's say, from playing the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a schemed run game. Everything comes from a spread formation.
Yeah.
Murray's in the shotgun. It's a schemed run game. This is a different run game. Wentz will be under center a lot. They line up. Quentin Nelson will be back this week, and they line up. And, you know, it's a big boy pants kind of run game. You got to line up, and you got to play the run. You got to take on blocks. You got to be physical, and you got to make tackles. You know, again, it reminds me of what Brandon Staley said a few weeks ago. You know, you're going to have to be physical. You got to line up, and you got to hit people, and you got to tackle. That's what this run game is more about than, let's say, a team like the Cardinals.
Yeah. Another D-line question for you, San Francisco, Greg. I wanted to ask you about Eric Armstead. You know, I think some of the thought was when they couldn't afford to keep Buckner, okay, well, other guys are going to elevate. And yes, to a degree they have. But when you look at Eric Armstead, like, I think people thought that he would fill up the gap of the sacks that Buckner had brought. And that really hasn't happened. It's not really what he does. Occasionally he'll get back there and pressure the quarterback.
Sure.
But not as much as Buckner did. So I think people were waiting for that and it never came. So tell Niner fans what you see when you watch Armstead. Is he more of a run stopper at this point?
I don't think. I mean, let's put it this way. Here's what I think they probably thought, okay? And again, I don't want to speak for Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch, but my guess is they saw Armstead as a versatile piece.
Sure.
A player who can play D end and D tackle and be effective, not as a pure pass rusher.
Good call.
My guess is they saw Nick Bosa, you know, and D. Ford, and assuming health, that's the thing. You never know.
Yeah.
But assuming health, that they would be the edge pass rushers. But obviously, when they went into their sub-defense, their sub-fronts, that they would be the edge players, and Armstead would play inside. Okay, now, I'm not suggesting Armstead is exactly Calais Campbell, but I'm sure they saw something similar, because Campbell doesn't get 15, 16 sacks either. You're looking for effectiveness. You're not necessarily looking for numbers, okay? And people just look at sacks, and they see a smaller number, and they say, oh, he's not doing his job. I don't think... Well, my guess is, anyway, that they didn't see him as a big sack guy. You know, they thought that Ford and Bosa would present in their sub fronts the pass rush.
Sure.
And Armstead would be the complimentary guy inside.
Yeah.
So I think it's unrealistic to think of Armstead as, oh, he's the guy that's going to get 15 sacks. That's not what he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever You listen.
I'll talk quickly here. Not quickly, but just ask you, Greg, about the turnover situation. 49er defense and the Colts defense, two completely different teams when it comes to forcing turnovers. And with Jimmy Garoppolo back out there this week, it looks like the Colts, a team that's forced seven fumbles. Jimmy will put it on the ground. He'll also throw a pick. They've thrown five, or they've collected five interceptions, have the Colts. The 49ers just do not turn the ball over. Third worst in the league right now, forcing two turnovers. It's not been good. It's really not been good. What have you seen schematically on defense? I mean, it's tough to just coach them to get out of their scheme or to go ball hawk or anything like that. But what have you seen that's not allowed them to intercept passes or to force fumbles?
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that, because turnovers, to me, I mean, look, if you're a high percentage blitz team, people think that's a way you can try to create turnovers. But if you just kind of play defense, you know, without being high percentage blitz, without being high percentage man-to-man, then turnovers, you know, sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. I mean, to me, turnovers are after the fact things. You know, can you, unless you're going to play a certain way, and very few teams actually play that way, you know, I think of a couple of turnovers I saw this week where the ball gets batted in the air and it gets a turnover.
Right.
You know, I don't know how to respond to those kinds of plays. You know, is that a function of, wow, we play defense to create turnovers because a ball got batted in the air and, you know, my guy happened to intercept it? So, you know, unless you're all of a sudden going to say, you know, we're just going to go after the quarterback and we're just going to pressure all the time and we're going to just play press man, unless you really want to say that, and they're not going to do that because they don't have the people to do that, then turnovers are, you know, they just sometimes they come, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not a magic formula. If there was a magic formula to produce turnovers, everybody would, you know, be drinking that elixir.
Sounds good. Like turnover formula.
I can tell
with some of that. Yeah.
Take a turnover cocktail on the rocks.
The thing about this kind of stuff, guys, is I'm a process guy when I watch tape.
Sure.
And most people, you know, I'm very fortunate in my career. I can sit here all day at NFL Films and watch coaching tape. So I'm a process guy. Most people, you know, if you're a lawyer and you love the 49ers and you watch the games and then you see, oh, well, the turnover number isn't great, you go, gee, we're not producing turnovers. But you don't really have any idea of the process. So, you know, one of my pet peeves is when people just see numbers. When you have access to the results, everybody thinks they know, but they don't know anything about the process. And turnovers are, you know, there's not just like a process where you flip a switch and, okay, now we have the process, so this week we're going to get turnovers.
Well, Greg, I mean, that just about says it all, really. But Cope's original point, that's what we're dying for him out here.
Oh, of course.
The Niners have just not been able to take the ball away, really, from anybody. And you talk about momentum shifts in a game. You're just not going to get them when you don't take the ball away.
Yeah,
it's just it's a lot harder to achieve
that.
And
it makes it harder. There's no question. So now if you think as a coach, okay, how can I try to do that? So do you say to yourself, okay, do I want to blitz more? Okay, well, if I want to blitz more and be more aggressive on D, then I probably might have to play more man coverage. Am I comfortable playing more man coverage with my corners out there? If I'm not so comfortable with that, well, maybe I don't want to blitz more. You know, so, you know, there's factors that go into it. Like I said, you know, it's not like a light switch. You don't turn on a switch and all of a sudden there's more turnovers.
You got to think
all this through.
Yeah, well, no doubt. And that's why we like to talk to people like you, Greg. And it's always awesome to check in. And listen, man, we'll be watching Sunday. I do expect the rain. We'll see what happens. But
it could be a messy one on Sunday.
It could be messy, but it's also a game the 49ers really desperately need. They need this game to stay in the...
Without question.
Keep pacing the NFC West. All right, Greg. Well, in the meantime, you stay dry. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the Sunday matchups. And then we'll circle back and get you next week. Thank you, Greg, as always.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care, man. That's great. And by the way, we had a little sub-discussion going on in parentheses here in the studio where we were off the mic. Copes was like, you got to ask him about this Seeger tune. I got to be totally honest. I wasn't comfortable rolling out a Seeger tune that I'm not familiar with. What was the name of this track?
It's like The Days When It Rains or something.
I don't even know that one. I probably got maybe a little bit above average knowledge of Bob Seeger. But I'm not like a black belt Bob Seeger fan, so there's plenty of songs of his I don't know.
Murph will go Seeger.
Yeah, Murph will go Seeger. But I don't even know if he's as hardcore as Greg is.
You know what I mean?
No, Greg's more hardcore. Yeah, I thought Murph floated that out there. It's just kind of like a weather balloon.
Yeah.
And it hit right. By the way, Cosell made me laugh pretty hard.
Go ahead. Let's get into it.
Well, we were talking about the rain on Sunday. We're like, yeah, Sunday night's going to be rainy. And he was like, we'll see about that. You know?
Yeah, he's like kind of calling it into question.
I looked at Pilot Ken out of the side of my eye and I pointed out. So I was like, I can see right now.
I got to tell everybody, thanks to the KBR Weather Center interns, and we're back to full staff again now that the building's back open.
We have specific interns for weather.
Yeah, the Weather Center. They're in the Weather Center. They stayed down the hall. But anyway, they brought me the reports. Here's what I have. Rain heavy at times on Sunday. Heavy at times. And then Monday, I got next Monday, very windy with downpours, dude. Downpours. But meanwhile, the text line's checking in. I got a Santa Clara guy saying, hey, it's not even raining in Santa Clara.
Just wait.
Well, if that's okay with Greg Cosell. We're not sure. I'm like, Greg, it's going to rain Sunday.
Like, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I'm like, I don't know. It says so right here.
He's like, no, it says Sunday night. He's like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Can I go deep on a Murph and Mac riff real quick? Murph's going to be kind of a punchline on this one, but it was a good moment. What do you give me for me telling Greg it's going to rain and him dropping, yeah, we'll see about that, to us having McGlinchey on the show when we were talking about number of sacks allowed, and McGlinchey's like, yeah, we haven't even allowed a sack yet. And Murph's like, no, you have. I got it right here. You did allow one. I'm just saying.
I don't think we allowed one. He's like, yeah, you did.
No, you did. I got it right here.
He's like, no, we did. By the way, I think he was mistaken. I think McGlinchey was right at the time, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Waterboy doesn't know.
I just like correcting I like correcting the guy who's on the team, though. Let me tell you what you did, actually.
No, you gave up a sack.
No,
I watched it with my two eyes.
Anyway, we all have our moments. Hey, Copes, Power Hour is still rocking and rolling here. We got S to do here.
By the way, we're going straight into the cooler. How about this?
I feel like we're not getting enough cooler these last couple of days. Is it me? Am I
need
the problem?
More shows. I need more cooler.
I need more shows. I'm a real deadhead, and I need more cooler, as Adam Copeland just said. Where's my shows?
I need more shows.
Thank you very much. Yeah. All right, Copes, Paulie Mac going to take you on into the cooler on the other side on KMBR 680.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.